Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going.
And it's lights out! Lando Norris has got past Carlos Sainz. He's been trying for a while, dropped back just a touch, complained about his tyres, but has now managed to get enough grip to put the brakes on late enough to get past Carlos Sainz and go on to take the lead of this race. You can see the rain signs there. Hamilton is getting so much closer to Lando Norris, and it's now just 4 seconds between Norris and Hamilton.
Verstappen could finish P2 here.
And Hamilton takes the lead of the race as Lando Norris slides off the track and avoids the barriers, manages to keep going, but Hamilton takes the lead. Meanwhile, Max Verstappen, who's on the intermediate tyres, is P2. Making his way through the field. He came into this race as a gladiator. He finds the checkered flag as a centurion. Lewis Hamilton, it's 100 race victories. He wins the Russian Grand Prix and he retakes the championship lead.
This is the Outlap F1 podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 42 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is the Russian Grand Prix Race Review. I am your host, James, along with all of my wonderful co-hosts, John, Andy, and Deanna. Andy, I'll go to you first because three of the four co-hosts tonight are kind of like 50%, I think, right now. We got a couple sick ones. I'm just tired as shit. You might be a little angry, but you look pretty good right now. How you feeling?
I guess I'm doing the best of everybody, even though probably mentally I'm probably the most fried. Deanna, I think, and me are probably the most fried. I think we're tied with that, but I guess I'm okay. Still breathing, still living.
Good. Deanna, I'll give you a chance to let us know how things are going in your life. Just to let everybody know, this is not a new co-host. This is Deanna. She just sounds a little bit different.
Ouch. Damn, son.
You're asking this today. I'm trying to fit in with you guys.
You have like an Adele kind of voice going on tonight.
Yeah. There you go.
I wish that I was
and
like
she's
this.
Like
I
a
like
mini time multimillionaire. So
yeah,
you know,
I'm just gonna permanently damage my throat and make a lot of money. So there you go.
There you go.
That's my next path in life.
All right. Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
Got some age in that voice, John. How you doing?
I'm surviving as well. We got feel like shit. Got sick family. It's been a long week again. So, but anyway, I'm here. I had a good time watching this race. It was quite entertaining.
Well, let me be the first to tell you, you look like shit too, Jeff. But I still love you.
No, I mean that's normal. So, you know, that's nothing unusual for me. So.
All right, so we actually have a pretty wild Russian Grand Prix to talk about. But before we get into that, I got to remind everybody you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit. And YouTube is at Outlap F1 Podcast. Of course, we have our link tree on our Twitter profile, so go ahead and check that out. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can check out our website at www.outlapf1.com, where you'll find things such as our F1 for Beginners episode. So if you're new to the sport, welcome to yet another wild race in the 2021 season. If you're a little bit confused about things you saw, make sure you go back to Season 3, Episode 6, and check out the episode made just for you. You can also look at our About Us page, and find some other special episodes, including our interviews with Saber Cook from Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. For even more F1 content, you can check out Deanna's channel on YouTube called Relapped, where she's going over every race in current day, and occasionally some old ones, too. So make sure you check that out. And then Andy, what's becoming my favorite segment of the show each week, Outlap F1 Nation, stepping up yet again. Read off the list for us.
Ah, thank you so much to the following who have joined the Outlap F1 Nation. Matt Polanski, Kevin Kelly, Richard Cole, Tim Brown, Hillary LaRose, Travis Colby, and Mary Brown. Thank you all so, so much. We try to make this thing better. That's what we're trying to do. So thank you again. It's just, it's so humbling to get another one. Every week we get another one, it seems. And it's just truly, truly humbling and amazing to see.
Awesome. Yeah, and if any...
And contractually, I'd have to say Matt Plancy from the Red Sector MotoGP podcast. So. Thank you, guys. Check
yes,
it out.
Very, very true. And if anybody else wants to help promote the show, you can find that via Anchor. There's a link in the show notes attached to the episode where we will make the show better with every dollar that comes in. I was surprised listening to the preview episode that I missed. We got some cool sound effects now, so I can't wait for the next preview episode to help bust those out.
I had a good time with
it. I had a great time listening to it, I'll be honest. So I really enjoyed that. and, of course, you can check out our longtime sponsor, Manscaped. You can go to their website and use code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping for all of their wonderful products that you'll hear about a little bit later during one of our commercial breaks. But now that we're through that, we can talk about our headlines of the day. And for that, I'll turn it over to Andy first yet again.
It's an oldie but a classic, so if you know these lyrics, sing along with me. But long as I remember, the rain been coming down. Clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Good men through the ages, trying to find the sun. And I wonder, still I wonder, who'll stop the rain?
Am I supposed to know what that is?
It's not Adele.
Oh, no idea. Ask your parents.
What year was that song released, Andy? Do you know?
Somewhere in the 70s, before my time, but I just kept thinking of that, and these lyrics just fit right in with it. So
Danny's like, damn, Andy making up his own song on the
spot. Beautiful lyricist.
It's classic.
I don't know how anyone can top that. Wow.
Yeah, that was excellent, Andy. Thank you, sir.
It's amazing to see the things that Andy will do for this show now. I mean, I remember the day when he wouldn't even say a curse word. And the only thing we're missing is that chewy. I expect the next day.
It might have happened this morning if it actually came to fruition.
So close. Deanna.
I'm waiting for it.
Deanna, what do you got for your headline of the day?
For McLaren, the highest of highs to maybe not the lowest of their lows. But it feels pretty low after this day. So we went from a 1-2 to almost a second win. And then we also had an IndyCar award getting hit on the first lap, effectively ending his title battle in that series. And it was just a depressing day to be.
With Zach Brown in person to see it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just depressing day for McLaren all around, really.
Yeah, that was definitely a bummer for Pato, but he will be back. John, what do you got for your headline of the day?
I've been saying all year this is just the year of new things happening, and 2021 has yet to disappoint. It made a Russian GP interesting and exciting to watch. I don't know what's happening this year, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, mine's kind of right along with you. Basically, I don't know how 2021 can get better, but then when you throw in a Russian GP that was actually entertaining and exciting to watch, it's just like... I don't know what to expect anymore. It's like it's just back and forth, just craziness around every corner. And I mean, I Abu Dhabi's probably going to be good too then, huh?
Well, they're reprofiling it right now.
And France was actually good. Yeah. The only one I'm actually concerned about is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That just looks.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll reserve judgment.
There's a few reasons I think we're worried about that track, but.
So you don't like a 200-mile-an-hour Monaco? Like, what?
We'll see.
Where Mazepin gets the fastest lap is just the train part. It'll be one of those days, I have a feeling. But.
All right, so moving on from the headlines of the day, we'll go to our qualifying recap, and for that, I give it to Andy.
So the qualifying, which we were actually really concerned about, was not going to happen Saturday, did happen on Saturday. It was wet for a good chunk of it, and then it dried out and got really, really interesting at the end. But going out in Q1 in P20 with no time set because he was set to take engine penalties was Max Verstappen. P19 was Nikita Mazepin. P18, Antonio Giovinazzi. P17, Mick Schumacher. And P16 was Kimi Raikkonen. Advancing to Q2, but going no farther in P15 and in P14, respectively, were Leclerc and Latifi. None of them took any times in Q2 because they both were set to take engine penalties. P13 was Yuki Tsunoda. P12 was Pierre Gasly. And P11 was Sebastian Vettel. The top 10 from 10 to 1 in P10 was Esteban Ocon, P9, Sergio Perez, P8, Lance Stroll, P7, Valtteri Bottas, P6, Fernando Alonso, P5, Daniel Ricciardo, P4, Lewis Hamilton. He had a very messy entry coming into the pits, broke his front wing, and then spun on his final Q3 attempt. P3, George Russell. You think this guy likes the rain? I'd say he does. P2, Carlos Sainz. And in P1, with his first career podium and a lap time of 141.993, saw Lando Norris.
He was a half a second clear, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
What a lap.
Yeah, awesome lap by Lando. But I got to go to John here about Lewis Hamilton here.
Oh, shocker.
Typically, it's the Mercedes pit crew that's screwing up the pit stop, and now Lewis can't even make it to the pit box without hitting the wall. What was up with that?
I just had flashbacks of China 07, Canada 07. I don't know. It's been a few years, but I was, not great. I'm just happy it wasn't worse than what it was. I don't know if the spin afterwards was a trickle effect of the damage from the wall, or if it's just, I've got one lap, let me just send it and see what happens, because I got to try and make up everything all at one time. But yeah, I had a lot of painful flashbacks of Hamilton and pit road incidents, unfortunately. So, he vowed to make up for it on Sunday. That was his, he immediately said, hey, I effed up, and I'll make it up, guys. So,
well, he definitely did that.
Glad to see.
Yeah. Definitely did that. anything else stick out to you about qualifying from the weekend, Deanna?
I mean, I think it's just, the top three, and it's probably one of my favorite top threes in qualifying. Mm-hmm. But again, that Hamilton mistake, and especially because it caught out Bottas too. So he didn't get the full kind of two push laps that all the other guys were doing on slicks. So I think that just hampered Mercedes as a whole and put them in that weird position. And then they made another weird decision, which we'll talk about here in a bit.
Yeah, I think
I saw someone, I don't know if it's accurate, I haven't really thought about it, but you guys probably know. Someone said they thought the last time that there was a McLaren Ferrari Russell to start a race was like 07, 08,
Williams
somewhere
has just
in there.
Become Russell. Merged into one.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was I think the European Grand Prix or something in 2007.
Yeah.
Somebody said,
"Yeah, I think something like that." Yeah, that's insane.
The qualifying podium was even crazier than the one I predicted for the race, but didn't really come to fruition.
Yeah, what exactly were you drinking when you made this race? We didn't get a chance to ask you in person. So.
Well, I had a long weekend in Colorado before I made those predictions, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, never mind. We'll worry between the lines there.
All right. Let's go ahead and move into the race now. And for that, we talk back markers first, where we found Mick Schumacher out first, DNFing in P20. Nicholas Latifi did finish in ninth. Or no, he was a DNF, right?
Nope.
Yeah. P9. Yep. Or
he spun off when it started raining and put his rear wing into the wall, damaged it, and he was done for the
day. Okay, I missed his at the end then. Because at one point, it looked like we were going to have, 19 finishers, which would have been
I don't think
crazy.
We saw it.
Oh.
I had to go into this onboard to find it. So, we'll talk
more
about
race structure,
but that's
about,
number one.
All the things we didn't see.
Yeah. One of the many things we missed. then we had Nikita Mazepin in P18, Yuki Tsunoda in P17. Who, if I hadn't just read that, I would have forgotten that he was even in F1 today, because I feel like I didn't see him at all. Antonio Giovinazzi in 16th. Charles Leclerc, rough day, P15. Esteban Ocon in 14th. Pierre Gasly in 13th. So, man, I got real excited for a little while with Charles Leclerc, just to speak on him for a second. Was excited about the new engine upgrade, but I never really got that excited because it was going to be a wet weekend all weekend. So, wasn't really looking forward to seeing what was done with that. But went long on his hards, the first strategy. I knew there was a shot. If the rain would have started earlier, I knew there was a chance that he was going to get really, really lucky with the timing of everything. But unfortunately, you know, he went the Lando Norris route, stayed out a little too long, and then just couldn't. I mean, you just when it's wet, you just literally cannot steer that car. So bummer, but he did show pretty well throughout the race, so I'll take it.
James, there's a lot of moving parts today, so you know, it was hard to you know, really hone in on Leclerc for me. But what did you think of the engine, just from what you saw in the dry weather?
I didn't get to really see that much of the dry weather stuff, honestly. I mean, it looked good throughout the race, but I didn't get to see him much during the race. I'm gonna have to go back and like rewatch the race or try and just watch his onboard, I guess. But it seemed positive overall. There wasn't any issues. He didn't break down, so that's a plus. with the way some things have gone with Ferrari in the last number of years, it's like that's a win. But then it was, you know, obviously it's surprising that Carlos Sainz was our one true hope through most of the race, and he's got the old motor. But yeah. No, I mean, I think it was good that they brought it out now so they can tinker around with it for the next few races before going into next year and getting that shut down. But yeah, I mean, he had a shot to really do something crazy, but instead it was just Verstappen that magically appeared out of nowhere in second place. But what about you, Deanna? I know you usually like talk about Pierre Gasly. He kind of got victimized by the rain a little bit too, but only started in 11th, finished in 13th. What'd you think about his day?
Yeah, it was just kind of went nowhere for the most part. He did run long with the hards, but when he pitted, he still came back out in 15th. He managed to make up a couple spots when it started raining, but again, still 15th to 13th, still out of the points. So just pretty, not a great weekend for him. He didn't have a great qualifying. He looked like he had the pace in FP1 and FP2, but it just kind of went away from him. I think they should have stuck on a new set of slicks. There was some issue with their enters in qualifying. Maybe he would have started in a better place and not kind of gotten caught up in the middle of a bunch of people, but just not a good day for him. And he got spun by Stroll when he was going on all of his escapades.
One of many to get spun by Stroll today.
No one was safe from Stroll today. Not even his own teammate. Anybody from the backmarkers you want to touch on, John?
No, I think the big one for me was Leclerc, and I think we covered that, obviously. Well, and that and Giovinazzi, I guess we, having a pretty damn good day, but then really, really, really bad luck losing radio at some point during the race, not knowing when to pit, using, a very tiny pit board box to try to determine while it's spraying, while you've got a whole cluster of activity going around you, so... yeah, I mean, we were talking pre-race. It's a shame because, this would have been another day that probably would have chalked up to be pretty damn good for him. And it just, things just have never really aligned, it seems like. So,
and he could have used
like
it.
The time is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems almost fait accompli at this point that I don't think he's keeping that seat.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll lose the seat, but he'll probably still be a Ferrari reserve driver, which not so bad. There's worse occupations to have than that.
That's true.
That's true.
So we can go ahead and move into the next grouping here. We got Sebastian Vettel in P12. He had me worried for a little bit there, John. I thought he was going to luck himself into a nice points haul, but thankfully he had some issues with Lance Stroll as well. what'd you think about that part of the Stroll sequence to end? I mean,
I was laughing.
Go ahead.
Because when they went to the onboard, of course, it's something else, number two thing that we didn't see live. Crofty or whoever it was just assumed it was Vettel doing something stupid or spinning or something. It was just like an automatic assumption that Vettel was getting ready to spin. And then when you see they hit twice, actually, between Stroll and Vettel. I don't know what the hell is going on there. It's Yeah, the number one rule in racing is don't take out your teammate, especially when your daddy's paying for the cars. So that's probably rule number two. So yeah, I don't know. They both actually had pretty damn good days for the first chunk of it. For an Aston Martin, I was really surprised to see either one of them even in the picture, to be honest with you. I didn't think this track would suit them well, but I was, pleasantly surprised. They both started well, both running well, and then kind of everything went to shit when the rain happened. But obviously before, I don't really know what was going on with Stroll. He had a brain lapse there for a number of laps and decided to just start ping-ponging off. So,
channeling his inner Daniel Kvyat, I think, is what he was doing.
Yeah, I was like, damn,
Crofty,
already
giving
Vettel shit, and we don't even know what's happened yet. So.
That was awesome. Yeah, but it's Sebastian
Stin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, but again, I think if you look big picture, obviously neither one of them finished in the points. Both of them were heavily victims of the rain situation, but from a morale standpoint, I think they've got to be pretty damn happy when you look at big picture here as to, being at least in the equation for a number of laps here. So
I guess that's a silver lining. So as you mentioned, Stroll is in 11th. In P10, Deanna, is George Russell ever going to race a race and not score points or what? This dude's on fire.
Apparently at this rate.
How many races are we in right now?
Is it three?
Four?
Four? I think it's four, right?
Oh, dang. I thought it was three.
Yeah, I think it's four.
That's crazy.
I think it's four.
So, yeah, this season, we're only going up. Maybe next step is podium. It started with Q3s, and we've kind of progressed from there. So, we'll see by the end of the season. Well, I guess he already had a podium, so. Anyway, podium. So, Russell, he started P3, typically the best place to start. It did kind of seem like Sainz kind of cut him off and did end up getting that slipstream that normally you would get from P3. But he stayed in P3 and was able to hold off what ended up being Stroll, Ricciardo, and Hamilton for a good bit of time. He was one of the early pitters, which didn't end up really being the right strategy. So just kind of got overcut by a whole bunch of people. Wound up 11th. Pitted was one of the earlier pitters onto intermediates and was able to make up that one spot and finish with yet another point.
Was it Stroll that triggered all those early stops? I think he was the first one to go in, wasn't he?
You want me to give you the recap of the stops?
Obviously, I just put that on a tee for you.
Fantastic, thank you.
Okay. I'm a segue again.
Yep. So this is going to be the stops from pre-lap 47, the order from there to the race finish. So our first stopper, well, it came on lap 46, it was Mazepin. He was still lap down, we don't care. First of the intermediates that matter is on lap 47, Bottas came in, he made up 9 places. Raikkonen came in, he made up 5. Russell came in, he made up 1. On lap 48, most notable there is Verstappen came in, he made up 6 places. Sainz came in, he stayed in 3rd. Ricciardo came in, made up a place. Stroll came in 2, but he lost 2 places. But that's because of hitting the teammate, hitting Gasly, hitting the wall, yada, yada, yada. Lap 49, only Hamilton came in, he made up 1 place. And then the kind of turnover lap was lap 50, where things went downhill. Alonso was able to stay in the same place. Perez lost 5 places. Vettel lost 2 places. Ocon lost 2 places. And then on lap 51, that's when Norris and Leclerc finally came in. And they lost 6 and 7 places, respectively. So that is kind of how all of the intermediate pit stops at the end sort of worked themselves out.
Thank you, Deanna.
Yep.
So then we'll move into P9 now, Andy. Sergio Perez, who I think... I'm looking at our agenda, and pretty much every racer to this point, their very first note is rain victim. I think Sergio Perez might be the last one we have on there that says that. He had a chance today, Andy, to do something good for Red Bull. And, I mean, do you consider him squandering it? Was it bad luck? I mean.
Well, it was the opposite side of the gamble to go on to try to last the last 3 laps of the race, and he got burned out by it. He was in a position to probably get a podium. He was sitting 4th. He was doing really good things, I thought. Probably
half a second behind Perez.
Yeah. I mean,
as the rain was coming.
Yeah, he was probably one of his best drives in a Red Bull that we've seen from him in a very long time, particularly coming from where he started. So I was nothing but impressed up to that point. And it seemed Like, you know, we talk about drivers, and when we get to the decision, we get to Lando, I'm sure we will talk about this at length. But the drivers that were more apt to be kinder to their tires were probably more apt to try to stay out because they thought they'd be able to manage the tires and manage the situation to the end. Like I said, rain victim here because it all fell apart when the deluge happened on lap 51.
Yeah, to start with him, because he was on the hards to start the day, wasn't he? And yeah. Usually when you see Sergio Perez on the hards to start a race, it's like, well, he's going to go the longest of anybody, and he's going to be in a really good spot at the end. And then, of course, the rain kind of screwed up that whole strategy. But I'll move up to P8 now, John. Kimi Raikkonen, probably his highest finish of the year, I'm pretty sure. Probably the last top eight finish of his career, you think?
Looking at the tracks that we have left, it's probably not more than one or two.
Yeah.
I mean, well, obviously we're running out of races here anyways, but yeah, I mean, this might be the swan song of his career, potentially speaking. I don't necessarily see them doing well.
Yeah, disappointing finish for Kimi Raikkonen, just how his career is kind of petering out at the end. But hopefully we get to see him at least a couple more points finish before it's all said and done. All right, Andy, I'm going to hand it off to you now for P7, Lando Norris. Quite a few notes here on the agenda, so take it away, sir.
The tragedy that could have been. Oh, man. He was by far the most significant victim of that rain that happened that really kicked up on lap 51. Starting with lap one, he got a good launch from pole position. However, as we all kind of figured was going to happen, he got victimized being in that drag race going into turn two, tried to cover Lewis Hamilton, but that gave a great toe to Carlos Sainz, who took advantage and took the lead on in the turn three there. So great move by him. Sainz maintained the lead until lap 13 when Lando had incrementally gotten the gap down from about 2 seconds. He finally gets into DRS, retakes the lead from Sainz. And at that point, then he was gone. Instantly got out of DRS and pretty much pulled away. The Ricciardo pit stop, which we'll talk about a little bit later, was slow for McLaren. The Lando stop was not. 2.9 seconds, held onto the lead. But you could just see Hamilton being the strongest of the challengers at this point. He was closing quickly. Then we get into the final sequence. Lap 47 is when the rain started. He was alerted to it by the pit wall. It was really only between, I think, turn 5 and turn 7 was probably the worst part of the rain, but sectors 1 and 3 were relatively dry. So on lap 49, when Lewis pits, Lando stayed out, thought he could still manage it. That all came apart on lap 51. At this point, the deluge is necessarily hit on the main straight and in turn 1 into turn 2. Lando is powerless to defend. He's overtaken. He slips off the track. Lucky he didn't put it in the wall because he certainly could have, but he didn't. Lap 52 eventually makes it back into the pits. Does run wide at the pin in. Was investigated. Ultimately given a reprimand by the stewards, but no further action taken. Did pass Kimi Raikkonen on lap 53 to finish P7. So I guess there was what little silver lining there was. It was there, and it just went away. That's all I can say.
Well, real quick on the non-penalty for that pit lane infringement. I'll be honest. I love Lando Norris, but I was kind of hoping he was going to get like a penalty there to lose some of the 6 points he gained just for the Ferrari-McLaren battle. But are we in agreement as a podcast that we think it was fair just to give him the reprimand and not the actual penalty due to the circumstances on track? Oh, no. Okay, what do you got, John?
I mean, we've seen it before. Lewis was penalized for that. Now, I will say Lewis did get away with it once in 2018, something like that. But he was penalized, I think, in 2019 for something similar in similar conditions. And, you know, that's just off the top of my head. I'm sure it's happened more of the times than not. But, no, we talk about safety. We talk about all this stuff, you know, week in and week out. We've seen insanely harsh penalties for speeding on pit lane, yada, yada, yada. No, I mean, it would have been like kicking a guy when he's down, but still, in the realm of semi-consistency, which we know we have zero of in Formula One, I was 100% that he should have been penalized.
And Deanna, you were
surprised he wasn't. Honestly.
You were shaking your head too.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's one of those that should probably be a black and white rule. You cross the line, you cross the line. Because we've seen him been penalized on so many other occasions just for crossing the line. Not that I'm sure, like, Sonoda got penalized twice and he just had half a wheel. I don't think he meant to do that, but yeah. it just seems like a very clear cut rule of which we have to be like. So
at least we thought we did.
I would like to see that respected.
Yeah.
Everyone was saying, like, nice to see the FIA use their common sense for once. And I agree with that. Like, but they should have used common sense on a lot of other cases as well and haven't. So why start now?
Yeah, I mean, the broadcast thought it was going to penalty. I thought it was actually going to be a penalty. I was fully expecting to see either a fine or a grid drop for the next race and then penalty points and all of the fun that comes with that. Yeah, it's just incredibly inconsistent enforcement of what you thought, again, would have been a black and white thing. And wasn't like he wasn't trying to be unsafe. He literally could not stop. And maybe that was the argument, and that was obviously convincing enough for this set of stewards, which is another problem, because when you have different people making different rulings at different places, this is what you get.
Remind me, what was the penalty for Gasly? There was a Sonoda that had the...
I think Sonoda got a 5-second.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 seconds.
I think 5 seconds.
He got two 5-second penalties.
Okay.
And a penalty
in that race.
Which is what I thought was going to happen, like tack on 5 seconds to his race time or something like that and give him a penalty point. But, I mean, good for him that he gets away from that, because I know he's kind of getting up there on penalty points.
Yeah, he'd have been on 8. He's on 8 right now. I think he loses 1 or 2 in the next 2 Grand Prix.
Yeah.
All right, so Fernando Alonso, probably the least movement on the grid of any driver, started in 6th, finished in 6th for his 8 points. So his quote from today: "We finished 6th, but I think 3rd place is more of a true reflection of our finishing position today. It all came down to luck in the end with the rain coming in so late on. It was like a flip of a coin. Some cars stopped 1 lap earlier, and I was in 3rd position when it really started to rain. It was impossible to predict. Nevertheless, 6th is a good result for us, and we deserved it. We looked competitive throughout the race, so there are lots of positives to take away." So, yeah, I thought Alonso had a pretty strong drive throughout the day. I saw quite a bit of him on TV, I felt like, which was weird with a lot of the things we missed. But that Alpine seems to have gotten stronger throughout the year. Alonso's gotten more and more in tune with the drive and just being back on the grid. So I think that really speaks
bad
well for
boys,
next year.
Who's
got the caps about the bus out the door? It's gotta be Deanna.
It's me.
We're all singing the Niantic.
See, I've inspired them. I love it.
This one's like lingering out there for a while.
They don't go very fast on this road. Yep, they take a while.
Oh, boy.
I've had a bunch of fire alarms recently, and they just sit outside and just keep going. So at least I'm dealing with that. Or fireworks, or all the other noises.
I'm glad you said the fire alarm one, but we still have half an episode to go, so we got plenty of time for that to start up.
Welcome to New York City.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, sorry to distract. Going back to Fernando, did you think the start was a little sketch when he went off to the run? I mean, he went to the runoff area correctly. He did follow the rules, but I'm like, I swear he went through the corner faster than anybody who actually went through the corner.
Yeah, he came back out like 2nd or 3rd. I was like, whoa.
He was like side by side, and I'm like, oh, what? But he did follow the rules.
We talked about it in our preview. What was going to be the solution to turn 3? They were obviously more lenient on it this year than they were last because of they obviously saw what happened to Sainz and the pinhole that you had to drive the car through to try to get through that. It was more liberal. Fernando took advantage of it this year, I guess. That's all I can say about it.
I mean, apparently he attempted it on like the warm-up lap or the formation lap to try the line, but it kind of reminds me of, who was it, like Vettel passing a bunch of people in the pit lanes. It's just kind of knowing the rules, knowing what you can get away with, what the guy can penalize you for, potentially. Yeah. So I think it's just kind of a tactical move, and if you can get away with it, why not? That'll probably get
on the weekend. I wonder.
Yeah.
No, they said he did. He definitely did. On his way to the formation laps coming to the grid, he specifically went through that area, and they noted it.
Yep. So I imagine it'll change next year, but use it while he can.
So that's a Wiley
veteran.
He's only
got 1 more year to use it. Yeah, yep. That's exactly it. That's a Wiley veteran move.
Yep. So moving into the top five now, we got Valtteri Bottas starting all the way down in 16th, John, finishing in fifth to get 10 points for Mercedes. It's a okay day for Valtteri. Could have been better.
I think Valtteri was blessed by the rain situation because I feel like he was running like dog shit prior to that.
He's the biggest gainer of the whole situation.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah. His defense, and I use defense lightly, it's probably not even the right word, of Max Verstappen, that instantly became a meme online. I mean,
I've seen bullfighters have better Ole moves than that.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're on your way out, and you don't give a fuck anymore. I'm with you, man. You know, you got kind of the raw deal. You got the you know, as he puts it, the knife to his neck situation at Europe, the one-year deals, yada, yada. I get it. But have some own personal pride, man. I mean, regardless of the situation, you're still a racer. And this isn't NASCAR where it's like, all right, we're on different strategies and I'm going to let so-and-so buy me because I'm not racing that guy. You're in the top-tier car racing the other top-tier car just for own personal pride. Do something. Please. Anything. I mean, he basically put on his blinker, pulled it into the slow lane, and then stuck his hand out the window and waved him by. It was a joke. An absolute clown show. A mockery. Trash. Just absolute fucking trash. That's Valtteri in a nutshell today.
That was...
Is that good work?
I appreciate it. I enjoyed Valtteri moving out of the way, I'm going to be honest. One, because it unleashed Max, I thought at the time, and two, I figured you were going to have something bad to say about it, so it made my morning at that point.
Well, okay, so let me ask the obvious question: do we think the engine change was tactical, or was it actually related to something?
I think so, because Valtteri posted on his Instagram the meme that it's like, look at all of my engines and all of the multiple engines, which really, when was the last time? Somebody took a fresh engine two races in a row.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any damage last time. Also, why does he need five engines for an entire season? I mean, like, maybe he needs another one, but I feel like this was not the track. I feel like this is our last track where it's clearly going to be a Mercedes track. I think this was the last one. Why? I mean, granted, Bottas is not starting in the best place in P7, but that is much better than P17. And he does have a relatively new engine in the car already, so take the advantage where you have it. Max is already starting the back of the grid. You're ahead of both Red Bulls. Like, it makes no earthly sense in my brain why you do that. And then you stick him in the back. And I feel like, Bottas would have had maybe a better chance of holding him up, like, later in the race when they're kind of, like going on a stint. Granted, he did kind of just move out of the way. Like, he didn't put up much of a fight. But I would want to have Bottas versus Verstappen that early in a race. Like, I would rather have it later on in the stint and be able to do more things with him. I just, like, can't wrap my head around why that was the decision that was made, and they just like purely lucked into that P5. And I mean, they made the right call in the interviews at the right time, blah, 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 but like, yeah, without the rain, it would have been a very, very, very poor day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That's where we're at.
I don't know. Like, did we give like any kind of official statement as to why?
Just said tactical, which maybe he just does need another engine in rotation, but this was just not the place and time to do it.
No, I love the fact that when I texted you this morning and you're like, what's happening? And you were expecting me to give you a Lewis update. And I'm like, oh, Valtteri changed his engine.
Yeah, that wasn't the update I was expecting. I was afraid you were going to tell me that Lewis needed the gearbox or something stupid like that. And was just like, screw it. We'll start from the back as well. Just make it more fun. I mean, I guess, like, devil's advocate, I could say that maybe he needs another engine to finish the season. You know, he's obviously changed his ahead of at a higher frequency than Lewis prior to now because of the wrecks. So then maybe they wanted to have an engine so they could then reintroduce, you know, at later points in the season that it really only had a couple of races on it. And then it's a Mercedes track. He should be fast as shit, be able to pass people.
But it still doesn't make sense because he had a new engine the last race and they had both Mercedes had track position on both Red Bulls. So why would you give that up?
I'm thinking, with the number of races left.
Do it the next race when you're qualifying behind both
this,
Red
this
Bulls.
This is what I think Toto told Valtteri. Like, listen, you know, Valtteri, come on, sit down with me. Come on, take a seat. So this is what we're going to do today. At some point, we think maybe, you know, Saudi Arabia, you're going to need another engine. You know, who knows? So we might as well just put a new one in today. Put this one to the side for a little while, and then we'll give you that one back in Saudi Arabia. You know, and it'll be fresh. You know,
but if I'm looking at literally every single track on the rest of the calendar, I do not do it here.
I mean, better than Mexico because that one's going to kill an engine. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas here just to make semi.
I can't. You know, I can't make sense of things. It.
It doesn't make any sense. I agree because. Without the rain, they would have lost a whole chunk of points today in the constructors championship. So I don't understand it. And you know, Valtteri can't pass shit for shit. So put him out front or forget him. So I'm with you. I don't understand it.
But also on Bottas, he did that in Italy, and then this race was just a massive disappointment from him in particular.
Especially Valtteri in the rain too. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the guy hates rain.
he only had to be on the inners for three laps. He didn't have to like use them up.
All race long didn't go anywhere.
So, you're thinking like, all right, we had a 70% chance of rain during the race or something like that. So, I don't know. I have no idea what the thought process was. That's the only theory I could possibly come up with, honestly.
I just really hope that the decision not to swap out Hamilton's power unit ends up biting him in the ass when they ultimately do that, and Max, you know, walks away with the victory. And
he'll do it already.
Yeah.
Oh, watch out for Mexico now, because I mean, one of those engines has got to kick it between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it in the preview. I thought for sure that they would just say, all right, Max is doing it. Let's cover off Max. Let's do whatever he can. It's a Mercedes track. All we need to do is just finish ahead of them, and we can retake the championship.
Yeah.
Be the most likely.
Yeah, especially Mexico, because Mexico is a Red Bull track.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an engine killer. You don't, you know. So, we talked about it. He's going to have to probably take this before Mexico. And, neither one of these next two are really your ones that you necessarily want to take it out. I mean, I don't know. I hope it's not Coda, because I haven't waited 2 years to see him race in person for him to start Ted last. But hey, maybe it'll make for a good show. I don't know.
You deserve it. Last time we were at Coda, you got to watch him win the world the drivers championship. So
Got my championship shirt on tonight, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
All right, we'll move up to P4 now. Danny, Rick, Andy, tell us about the other McLaren drivers' day.
Well, as bad as Lando's turned out, Daniel's turned out fairly better. Started fifth, actually had a decent start himself. At one point, actually ended up having a McLaren 1-2 with Daniel kind of being the rear gunner and keeping everybody. Him and the Russell combination, or that DRS train, ended up really helping Lando and then eventually Lewis to really break away from everybody else and put them kind of on an island amongst themselves, which is probably what then leads into the whole decision to not come in later. But I thought Danny Rick showed really well. He did lose out to Carlos Sainz due to a slow pit stop, which I will blame on this new rule that just keeps cropping up. More and more teams were seeing worse and worse pit stops. Red Bull had it. Perez had an 8.91. I don't know exactly what the timing was on this one, but it wasn't good. But it looked like, again, it was somebody not hitting a button. It looked like all the tires went on fine, just nobody hit the button to give them the green light. So, again, don't get this rule. Did manage to pit for the enters at the end. That ultimately saved his race. Comes back with a solid P4. So, as gutted as you are for Lando, at least as a McLaren fan, I can actually say we actually opened up a little bit on the fight for P3 and the constructors. 12 points is a solid, solid day, and Danny Rick showing better two races in a row. That's good to see.
Steph, Deanna, anything on Danny Rick's day?
Not off the top of my head. I think, yeah, it was just kind of another solid performance from him, which is just good to see. It seems like we're making progress. And yeah, that's what that team needs, and hopefully come out swinging next time around.
Yeah, I guess it's encouraging to see you and the rest of the McLaren Army, Andy, to get disappointed with these kind of results. Now it's like we've taken the next step as a team, that now good results from a year ago are now becoming disappointing now. So, yeah. And then I forgot to mention that too when we were talking about George Russell, but that was, I think, huge for the race, the fact that he kind of held up the whole field and let Lando and Sainz run away with it. I thought it would have been interesting if George hadn't been doing that, if there would have been more pressure behind Lando, if Lando would have really been pushing to try and pass Sainz earlier, because I think Lando definitely had the faster car today, but he seemed okay because they were still pulling away. I mean, they were probably 8 seconds ahead of Russell for most of that stint there. So, but yeah, that was a nice call out there that I forgot to bring up.
It was ironically exactly what Latifi did in Hungary that let Ocon and Vettel kind of go off into the distance, which is where I thought we were headed with this race, but that was... Sort of disappointed.
Well, Williams is good for something, at least.
All right, so we'll step away and take a quick break here from a sponsor of ours, and then we'll be back to talk about the podium.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 42 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. We're here talking about the Russian Grand Prix Race Review. Just a quick reminder, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. Of course, we have our link tree on our Twitter profile. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com, and you can check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. All right, so now we talk podium. Deanna, Carlos Sainz, P3. What a day for the Ferrari guy, huh?
Yeah, pretty good day. I was excited to talk about this. He got a good start from the dirty side of the grid and was able to lead the race for a while, held off Lando for a little bit until Lando got passed. Again, we didn't see it. But then he was called in to pit to cover up, I believe it was Stroll and Russell. So unfortunately, that kind of pit early strategy was not the strategy for the day, at least until it started raining. So he did kind of filter back a little bit, but was starting to work his way up towards the end. Was in P3 pre the rain, but was looking like Perez was going to catch him. But then he was pitted on lap 48, which was definitely kind of pre lap 50 was the time to go. So he was able to maintain that position. And only really lost out to Verstappen, Hamilton already had. So overall, salvaged the day. At one point, he was told he was going to get top five as their target, and he was upset about that. But he pulled it out. And, yeah, it's a good result for him. And I think, third podium for Ferrari? Second? I can't remember.
At least this one had people around it this time. He didn't have to, celebrate by himself.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a little while there where I thought he was going to walk away from the day being super disappointed from where he started early in the race to where it looked like he was going to be with that early pit stop, which I thought was a bad call at the time. But ultimately, I mean, he's in sixth place in the driver standings now. He's clear of Leclerc by, I think, 8.5 points. So not much more I could have asked for out of Carlos Sainz as a Ferrari fan to start the year. He's as good as advertised, as good as I thought he was on McLaren. So things are moving in the right direction there as well. Yet another driver. I mean, every driver we've talked about early in the year was Ricciardo was the one that made the change that was struggling. He's kind of put those demons to rest. And now it's like everybody that made a switch is looking pretty good, except for Checo is still kind of having some issues. So overall, I think it's been a pretty good season. So Max Verstappen finishing in P2, starting in 20th place to get those very crucial 18 points for the Drivers' Championship race. Definitely did not expect that the way the race was going until those last few laps. Yeah, I guess I should have waited to give you Verstappen, Deanna, but caught you off guard with science. So you can talk us a little bit about Verstappen's day.
Yeah, so I think overall kind of a mixed day. So he did start from the back of the grid on the first lap. He made it all the way up to 17th, then got held up for that very impressive six laps by Bottas. And then kind of carved his way through the field up to sixth. We didn't really see much of it. Again, thank you, race direction. And he was flying. He was setting fast his laps, but then just hit a wall weirdly when he caught up to Alonso and wasn't able to get past on the first stint. He pitted when Hamilton pitted, I think, just to kind of cover him off. Came back out again, kind of was going about not really kind of setting blistering pace. Eventually got passed by Alonso. But he was one of the ones that pitted on lap 48. That was kind of the big benefit to him. Badger did really well in those enters and was able to work his way up to a P2 and to the most exciting way, I guess, to get to a Hamilton Verstappen 1-2. That is not how I thought the day was going to end.
Yeah, and Verstappen was the only one to have fresh enters to go on at that point, too, I believe, since he missed out on pretty much all of qualifying. So yeah. That worked out pretty much in his favor. I mean, as Verstappen, I guess, you couldn't have asked for a much better day. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton not finishing in first, but you kind of got to figure that was going to happen going into the race. So to finish P2, lose minimal points in the championship, I think, couldn't have asked for much more if you're Max Verstappen there. But moving into Lewis Hamilton now in first place, winning from fourth place, all 25 points. John, was this some sort of significant victory for Lewis in any way?
I think it was like the first or second one he's ever had, something like that.
Give or take, like 98.
Yeah, plus or minus 98. But, I mean, like I said, the weekend clearly didn't start the way he wanted to, especially on Saturday. You know, he talked about how he went back and watched replay after replay of his onboards, and he picked out a lot of subtle mistakes that he made that kind of just all added up. And then, obviously, the situation with the pit wall there at the very end of qualifying. But, like I said earlier, he did vow to make it up to the team on Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is that, you know, if you flash back, 8 or 9 laps, you know, before all the mayhem started, it looked like he was going to finish in P2 and probably get out of here with an 8-point lead in the championship. And then as all the madness shakes out in such a 2021 way of doing things, he ends up winning the race, but loses 6 points in the process. again, 2021. So honestly, like he talked about, obviously he had a pretty rough start. I could tell he was kind of tiptoeing around doing the non-Max Verstappen approach to, to passing people. He was making sure he didn't make any contact. That was his number one thing. I think he knew that, hey, I could hopefully make this up in the long run. But, again, I've got to finish points here. I've got to finish ahead of Max. And if I throw this in a wall, if I clip a wing on lap one, it'll all be for nothing. So he lost, 3 positions? Off the start, I believe, something like that. He made a decent actual start right at the beginning, but then got boxed in, and it just lost toe. There wasn't anywhere to go. I had to kind of check up. It was a close call there. I think he settled in and realized, okay, this is my opportunity. I need to just kind of chill for a hot minute here and let this kind of settle out on its own. Once he got up there and got into some clean air, I think that's where, you know, that Mercedes is, you know, we talked about earlier, it's not a car built this year that's built for overtaking. It's built to be out front. They need to change that outer approach, but I don't know if they can change that philosophy at this point in the season because they clearly built that car thinking it was going to be out front leading. So from an aero perspective, I feel like, especially when you compare it to McLaren's, we saw it in Monza, they clearly have a higher level of aero trim on there than the McLaren's do. So Lando was able to kind of pull a gap, you know, and Lewis, you know, rightfully kept it close, but I think Lando had the pace today. And honestly, I think, like I said, with 10 laps to go or so, I think Lewis was thinking, all right, I'm going to get my buddy here, Lando Norris. I think he's going to get his first victory. I'm going to finish here in second. I'm going to lead out here with a bunch of points in the championship, and I'm going to be happy with this day. And even as a Hamilton fan, I mean, I was like, hell, this is after this weekend, after everything we saw on Saturday and the, you know, lack of rain at that point, I'm like, this is a win-win. Let's get out of here. Let's move on to Turkey with a nice championship lead. And then, you know, obviously the mayhem started there. At one point, you could tell, we didn't get to see much on the broadcast, unfortunately, but from looking at the sector times and the gap, I think Lewis, you know, in like two or three corners gained like close to 20 seconds on Lando on what was it, like lap 52 when the monsoon hit. So it just shows you the pace difference between inners and dries and just how much Lando was struggling. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty incredible day all around. Again, I think he would have been totally happy with P2. I know I certainly would have, but 100 victories, love him or hate him. I mean, he's going to go down as, you know, I don't know if anyone ever is going to pass that, to be honest with you. I'm sure I'll say, you know, someone will remind me of that in 30 years when it happens, but I don't know. I mean, it's pretty shocking to get. It took a while to get to this 100. I didn't have any doubts to get there, but it took a lot longer to get to 100 than I thought it would after, you know, the way the season started. But, yeah, it's been a little bit of fun ride since I've been along for all 100 of them and wouldn't change things. So, good times.
Andy, as the other longtime Lewis Hamilton fan, what'd you think about the 100th?
It's a testament to just how good he is in different conditions, different elements. You throw stuff at him. And I think you saw it today. And just a point I kind of wanted to bring up, you know, what I think you saw the difference in experience between Lando and Lewis today, where Lewis has learned over time, and I think this is just part of, I think, what makes him as good as he is, to use his team for information, where Lando, and he's done this throughout his entire junior career, and I've known it because I've watched it. I've watched him on the radio. When he gets into a really stressful situation, he tells the team, stop talking to me. Lewis is still able to handle all of that and still process the information coming from his team. That's the next step for Lando's development that has to happen. And clearly, with 100 victories, you can see just how in the zone when he needs to be, Lewis Hamilton can be. It's shaky weekend, and he still manages to pull it off, and that's why he's as good as he is.
And it's interesting, too, you say that, because so many times this year, I feel like the team, Mercedes, had made bad decisions when they've been pressured. They made some piss-poor strategy calls really throughout the year that certainly cost Lewis. Lewis has obviously had his own mistakes throughout the year, but you know, the team definitely hasn't really helped him out in a lot of cases this year. But and even he said, you know, he and Lando were talking, you know, in the bullpen, you know, the media bullpen right after the race, and having a very, like, cordial conversation. You could tell that, you know, the two get along well. There's a lot of respect between the two, clearly. And, you know, they both said, hey, our team's called us in. We both ignored them. I think Lewis ignored it for, what, two laps there?
At least two.
Yeah, and then finally said, okay, you know, they're stressing it here. Maybe you can tell, you know, a change in voice tone or something like that on the radio. And he said, okay, this is more urgent than I can see here. And it was, you know, had to obviously that trust in the team and it worked out well. So it was nice to see. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Lando's close. He's obviously hell of a good talent. But yeah, you saw that big time again today. It's just, you know, shut up. I know what I'm doing. I'm aware of it. I can see the guy behind me. I don't need the gap time, you know. But yeah, I mean, this was Lando's race to win, and I think 100% think Lewis knew that Lando had the pace today. The car was trimmed out better. With both of them being on Mercedes engines, having less aero in the McLaren, it was never going to be enough, I don't think, in the straightaways. And I don't think Lewis was going to make. I was telling my buddy during the race when we were watching it, I don't think Lewis was going to make any kind of any risky move at all on Lando in this race. Unless it was like a clear shot, DRS, just, you know, flyby, I don't think there's any way that Lewis is going to throw it in there at all, thinking big picture. So this was Lando's race to win, and unfortunately the racing gods just had a, you know, different story in mind. But heartbreak for Lando, but yeah, nice to see the 100 finally get here. Got the monkey off the back here.
Yeah, it definitely took longer this year than I think a lot of us expected. And you could tell there was a lot of people have been waiting for this because as soon as it happened on Twitter, everybody had the same joke about, it's really only 99 victories, not 100. And then they had all the set beams of changing the little placeholder thing. So that gave me a good laugh at the end there.
Yeah, maybe wonder how long they'd had the LH100 sign printed out, for the pit board. How long that's been.
It probably took a bit of a world tour.
Yeah, they had to shake off the dust real fast when he crossed the line to get it out there. But
yeah,
all in all, good day.
All right, so that's it for the rundown of the standings from today. So now we'll talk about the overall driver standings. And for our top 10, we got John. Will he read those to us?
Yeah, so like I said, it went from an 8-point swing to a 2-point swing with all the brain chaos. But Hamilton now is now leading the championship again with 246.5. Verstappen just 2 points back from him. Bottas, 151. Norris, 139. Perez pulling in a soft P5 at 120. Sainz now, like you mentioned earlier, 8.5 points up on Leclerc. Sainz in 6th, Leclerc in 7th. Ricciardo in 8th with 95 points, Gasly 66, and Fernando Alonso pulling in the top 10, coming back in. The old man rookie, 58 points on the year so far.
I'm actually going to be keeping an eye on the race for 14th place now. George Russell only 2 points behind Yuki for 14th. That would be something to see Russell to finish ahead of a driver that wasn't from Haas or Alfa Romeo. So thanks for that recap, Andy. Will you give us the constructors rundown?
Yeah, so in first place, we have Mercedes on 397.5 points. Second is Red Bull on 364.5. Third is McLaren on 234. Fourth is Ferrari on 216.5. Fifth is Alpine on 103. Sixth is AlphaTauri with 84. Seventh is Aston Martin with 59. Eighth is Williams now on 23. Ninth is Alfa Romeo with 7. And still bringing up the rear in 10th place. In 10th place is Haas F1 with 0 points.
Thank you, Andy. And yeah, that just came to me too with thinking about Yuki Tsunoda and his kind of lack of points. But I just realized right now that Pierre Gasly has more points than Aston Martin does as a team, which is kind of crazy with all the goodwill going towards Aston Martin at the start of the year. But, I mean, Pierre Gasly's the real deal. All right, so we'll move into the fan emails, and for that, we have Deanna.
Yeah, so starting with Rachel Fleming, she says, "What do you guys think of Bottas taking another engine penalty? Does that show that Mercedes possibly care more about the drivers and the Constructors' Championship? Also, was that one of the most disappointing race endings ever? All that excitement and it was still a Hamilton Verstappen top two." I think probably the most interesting question there is, we kind of talked about the engine penalties, but do we think that Mercedes cares more about the drivers over the constructors?
I think they had the margin to play for in the constructors, and that's what they thought they were playing. They figured they were just going to leverage that and maybe have Valtteri hold up Verstappen and try to get bites at both apples, I think, today. Because they know this was probably their most dominant track that's left on the calendar. From here on out, it's a straight fight. It's between both of them. And if anyone, we talked about Mexico, we think that's a Red Bull track. We don't know about Saudi Arabia. That's a complete free-for-all. We don't know really about Abu Dhabi with the new layout. Red Bull typically goes really well at COTA. And Turkey is also an aero track, so that would seem to favor Red Bull too. So, yeah, I think they tried to play their marker, kind of sort of missed with it, I guess.
Well, it ended up working out.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it worked out. And they're still way up in the constructors.
Yep. Hey, Mats?
Brought a knife to a gunfight with Valtteri. And,
it's the one.
And like somehow threw it into the barrel of the gun.
Yeah. The other guy is gun jammed, thankfully for them, and they still won the war there. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is Mercedes. Yes, a month ago I would have a very different opinion. This definitely looks like Mercedes should have the constructors. They should be able to at least cover all the point marks in here. So yeah, it all comes down to making sure your main man is happy that you signed an extension with. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation we talked about earlier, but I think they were hedging their bets. I agree.
Okay, so next up, Tim Brown says, absolutely gutted for Lando. I'm a Leclerc fan, so disappointed for him as well. Crazy that in the end, it's a Hamilton-Verstappen 1-2. Excited, it's so close, and happy for Hamilton's win. 2021 continues to deliver excitement. Such a fantastic season. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Great. Appreciate the monthly support as well, Tim.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah,
and a Leclerc fan, so you know he's a good guy.
And I totally echo his sentiment about the 2021 season. This is just absolutely bonkers. You don't get one of these all the time. Just enjoy it. Ride the wave, I guess.
All right. So next up, Christopher, I'm going to mess this up, Gerstel, anyway, sorry, says, and this is why drivers need to listen to their teams. They have more data, they have more information, that they can make better strategic decisions. McLaren lent it to Norris's insistence to stay on slicks, while Mercedes overrode Hamilton and ordered him to pit for inters. So this is, I think Andy kind of touched on this, but I don't think we've kind of got around and talked about the decision from McLaren / Lando on the inters. So I guess, what are everybody's thoughts on that?
So in the moment, I was like, hell yeah, Lando, you tell him, you show him, you got this. And I thought it was a real ballsy move, something that me and John had asked for from Lando since he started early in the days of the of Outlap F1 podcast. But maybe he was a little too ballsy today. looking back now, obviously hindsight's 20/20. But
he sounded like Tony Soprano when he said that.
I haven't rewatching The Sopranos to get ready for the prequel coming out. But you know, I like that he did it. I mean, I probably would have done the same thing if I was 20, whatever he is, younger than Deanna, and racing for my first ever victory and just going for it. So I don't blame him for doing it. I know he'll learn from it. If he was in a championship battle, then I'd be like, that was pretty stupid, but fucking go for it, dude.
Yeah, he was in like a lose-lose situation because you know that Murphy's Law would dictate that if he pitted, it would have dried up instantly, and Hamilton would have cruised on to an easy victory. Oh. And, you know, it's just one of those, like, regardless of whatever he did, something, it just, you know, again, the racing gods had other things in mind today, unfortunately. But, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing. You got the lead. You held out Hamilton all day long. It's, you know, from what you can tell, it's only raining in one part of the track. And, yeah, and it's the threat of rain has been there all day, and it hasn't, you know, really, really happened yet. It's bad luck, unfortunately.
And how many times have we seen historically where we thought we were going to see rain bubble up and it never hits? I'm thinking of 2018 Germany. I'm thinking of a couple races in France where we thought, you know, we might have rain and it just never gets there. And the other thing was it's 3 minutes of actual real time. He had to go two more laps, three actual minutes, and he just lost. It's just horrible luck.
Yep.
It happens. I'd rather ride or die with that attitude than come in, give up the lead, and hope you get it back ended. Yep.
So my slightly out of left field thing that I blame in this situation is whatever McLaren is using for their like radar system. Because after the race, Lewis and Lando were talking and Lewis was like, oh, my team like saw something in the radar, made me pit. Whereas McLaren, they were having a discussion. They didn't think it was going to get worse based on what they were seeing. So they let Lando kind of make that decision. They didn't feel strongly enough to pull him in, as I think Mercedes did. So probably whatever they're looking at and the way that they make those decisions probably needs to kind of be potentially reevaluated after the situation. But yeah, I don't put it.
So Weather Channel Light edition. Well, they didn't pay for the
full. Well, let me just say, because I'm sure that you know the higher ups at McLaren are listening to our podcast. If they need to borrow our weatherman for the rest of the year, that's fine. Just toss us some paddock passes in Austin, and we'll make a deal. You can use Andy the rest of the year.
But I'll happily volunteer. I'll go to that AMS weather school, and I'll get my creds.
Yeah, but overall, I don't think anything was really to blame. They both the team and Lando made the best decision they could with the information they had available to them. And unfortunately, just didn't work out in their favor today. Okay, so the last question is from Matt Polanski, and he says, today's race is called the F1 gods suck, Mother Nature sucks, Saatchi sucks, F off Putin. Okay. Sachi is at it again, giving us a boring podium. This race has everything. Screwed up pit stops, extended tire stints, styrofoam markers being destroyed, and black rain. Black rain is that thing that comes off the black seam just long enough to screw up a perfectly good thing. Built on the back of a rain strategy gone wrong, we were all robbed of a chance to see Lando win his first race. I'm not at all salty about it either.
Here I was thinking the Mazepin family was going to come after us.
We'll never be taking a show trip to the Russian Grand Prix.
The entire Russian oligarchy is coming for us.
No, we won't. We'll be in Siberia before we know it.
Or if we do, we're not coming back.
Exactly. Permanent vacation to Siberia. Yeah, I agree. F1 gods suck. Mother Nature sucks.
So
she normally sucks, but this is actually a pretty damn good race. But yeah, I agree. But hey, we'll be in St. Petersburg or whatever it is, you know. And
yeah, it's only one more iteration of this, and then
forgot about that
the track that they're modifying.
We still don't know really anything about that track. I'm fairly certain it's still a ghost, because you can't really, unless anything's changed. The last we talked about, I really can't find a whole lot of information on that track. But as long as it's ready in 2023, I guess we're good to go.
All right. Thank you again to everybody that emailed the show, as usual. We really appreciate that, so keep them coming. And now we'll move into our weekly award segment, and we, as always, start off with our rubbish award. And John, you can go first. What you got for rubbish from this weekend?
That's a good question. I guess on track, well, I kind of want to give it to Valtteri, honestly. I mean, based on what I said earlier, I guess I should probably just stick with that. So
I'll go. I'm surprised it took you so long to just say Valtteri, because I thought you pretty much gave that award 15 minutes ago. But
well, I was thinking, you know, FIA for cameras, you know, there was a lot of things to complain about today. But I'll ride or die with my boy Trash and Lil Valtteri. Sorry, Dino.
For my rubbish award, I'm going to give it to the new pit stop rules, because I think they're stupid. I know they're stupid, and they should not have them. And, yeah, they're dumb. I don't like them. Stupid. Rubbish. Deanna, what do you got for your rubbish award?
Has to be race direction. There were so many things going on all day long, and they missed almost all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, think of just how amazing that race broadcast could have been if they actually knew what they were doing. And I think, even though I did enjoy that race as much as I could have enjoyed that outcome, but I think, like, I would have thought so much more highly of this race had the race direction actually been halfway decent. So that was just a disappointment.
Well, the good news is you only have a few months to wait for the new season of Drive to Survive, and then you'll get to see all of it. Except it'll probably be episode, like, 23, because there's not a chance in hell they're going to fit this season into a 10-episode run. Like, there's no way. And I'm fine with that. Just inject it right in. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. Baby. Yeah. As many as they want to do, and as many as they need to do, yeah, because there's too many stories.
All right, Andy, what do you got for rubbish?
Well, too many shots of, and I guess we're happy that they didn't have his face on the side of a grandstand, of Nikita Mazepin throughout the whole rest of the weekend. I didn't need to see that. He's a lightning rod. Everybody knows it. I don't know why they're putting him on television where it just gets worse and worse and worse. Again, feel really bad for the Haas admin who has to, you know, put quotes of his out there, and then they just get shellacked, and it just keeps happening. And then what the heck was that ballerina thing? I get we can't recognize Russia as a country because of the WADA thing, but that's what they decided to do? Wow, that was just weird.
If the Mazepin or Putin family is listening, that's Andy at OutlapF1.com. Usually I held that for James.
But it's all right. I'll own that one.
Yeah, I'd rather have France after me than Russia, so it's all good. I'll take those odds. All right. So analysis paralysis. I had Lando on here, even though I appreciated it. But then Deanna convinced me of otherwise during one of her rants today. So I'm going to give it to Mercedes for deciding to give a different power unit to Valtteri Bottas, because that was stupid. what do you got, Deanna?
That's exactly where I'm headed. Yes.
go ahead.
Yeah.
You said you said it well before.
I've said my piece.
Yeah, just stick with it. You got it. John, what do you got?
Despite my best efforts to impersonate Toto and his decision-making on that deal, I will agree with the two of you.
All right. And then Andy?
I got to give it to my boys and the decision to stay out. I know it was just bad luck, but, you know, it happens.
Harsh, Andy.
Yeah. Well, in the moment.
That's Zach Brown here listening today.
All right. So we'll go to Dark Horse now. Andy, what do you got?
I'm going to give this one to Kimi Räikkönen for just coming up kind of out of nowhere and scoring a P8 when, you know, it's nice to see him back on the grid. That didn't really get talked a whole lot about that, you know, he's back from the COVID thing. So that's good. And, you know, still managed to get it done in the wet, called the tire strategy at the right time and made it work. So good on you, Kimi.
Very good. Deanna, your dark horse.
Max Verstappen coming out of nowhere for P2. He was, like, solidly in seventh, was not going anywhere for the rest of the race, and then still somehow managed a podium for this race. So, I was shocked to see that one.
All right, fair enough. I normally don't like to use a Ferrari driver for Dark Horse, but I got to give it to Carlos Sainz today because just a nice podium finish for Ferrari, so I'll take those wherever I can get them. John, who do you got for Dark Horse?
I'll mix it up a little bit. I'll go with Fernando Alonso. Not a good, nice, solid day.
Yeah, he was my honorable mention for sure. Driver of the day, Andy, what do you got?
The unlucky Lando, but I'm going to give it to him because I thought his drive was, up till that point, absolutely superb. He had done all the hard work, and rain shower took it away from him. But Lando, my driver of the day.
I'm right there with you. Lando Norris, driver of the day for me. John?
Yeah, I agree. I guess a part of me semi kind of wants to give it to Max, but he was obviously blessed with rain. But then again, you know, he made the right decision and capitalized on it. So I'll split it between the two of them. I thought both of them earned their keep in their own ways today.
Okay, and Deanna?
It's going to Lando Norris, I think. He showed the legitimate pace to at least put up a challenge to the wind had it stayed dry. I honestly think one of the most impressive things was he caught up Sainz past him and then within a couple laps and pulled over a 3-second gap to him, which was just crazy to see. And then to go literally double on that set of mediums that Sainz did and still easily keep that lead over him, I just think overall just a really, really, really great day for him until lap 47.
Yeah.
But we'll just erase that from memory.
Very good. All right, so that's it for the awards. John, if you could just really quickly get through the predictions recap from this weekend. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Let's stop here for a minute and talk about how I tied for the win this week in predictions.
or how I said Leclerc probably every single position that he did not end up in.
All the hedging and none of it mattered. None of it mattered.
Although I wasn't doing too bad if he would have stayed.
Turkey, I'm picking Max in P1, P2, and P3, as well as all the bonuses.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's maybe a couple guaranteed points potentially. I don't know.
Technically, there's not a rule against it, so.
Exactly.
You found the loophole.
And next time, I will not be peer pressured out of having two different choices.
Well, do we only have? We only have one race till Coda. One more predictions to go. Well, damn it. Well,
where are you headed with that?
Well, no, I was going to make a bet with you to see who'd be in the lead between me and you who's got to buy the first beer at Coda. But we can still do that. I'll give you a 1 point bump there.
Sounds good.
All right, go ahead, John.
Like a plan. Yeah, so our qualifying or our prediction game is at its peak, honestly. We're breaking records here. We all tied. Yeah, Deanna actually won this week, as well as Andy, as well as James, as well as myself.
I'm not doing the thing next week. I'm not picking the extra ones. You gotta do that, John.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't done it in a while. I'll take one for the team. All of us with 1 point. Andy, you had one for qualifying time. James, you had one for bonus pick. I had one for podium driver. And Deanna had one for fastest lap time. So we were all over the board and all a bunch of terribleness. So for the season standings, we subbed James in last place, 32 points. Pollock rightly ahead with Deanna at 33, Andy 38, and myself at 45. So we're getting down to it. We got a nice battle there in the mid-tiers.
Time to get the business end of the championship into high gear and predictions land.
Plenty of time left. We just need that TBC to become a real race, so I got a little extra time.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm starting to actually have some serious doubts about how many races we actually are going to have left. So Turkey Kota, for sure.
Let's not end negative, John. And then we're going to end positive.
Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi. We'll see what happens in Mexico, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so we only have a handful of weeks to go till COTA, only one race before that. We got a weekend off. I think it'll just be me and Andy on the Turkey review, so get excited for that. I know I am. But as far as COTA goes, if you're listening to us out there and you plan on attending or being in the Austin area, make sure you reach out. Hit us up in the DMs or an email. All four of us will be down there, so we'll be looking to go out and meet some of all you fine people. Talk F1, maybe have a few cocktails or adult beverages. But I think that's all I have for tonight. If nobody else has anything, I'll give it to Andy to send us on our way.
I want to give one last little shout out. Kind of mentioned Eddie Carr earlier, but great job to Alex Palou winning that championship. Yeah. Really great season all around for them.
Another bonkers season in IndyCar. Super fun to go to the two events that we were able to go to. I fully enjoy that. If you have the opportunity to get to a race, please do it. It is totally worth your while. They are awesome people. All the drivers up and down the grid are super welcoming. Take advantage of it. Open wheel racing in this country is back, and it's back, and it's great.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to have to make another Indy trip or two again next year for sure. And maybe a couple F1 trips with Miami coming, so we'll have to see. But yeah, congrats to Palalios. Great season.
So as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.